Well, good morning. Praise God. It's good to be together today with all of you. It's good to see you today. What a week we have had. What a week. But I'm so glad that we're able to be together today. And those of you that I've been talking to before service, thanking God that we have weathered the storm very, very well. Thank God. Amen. I want to take a moment today just to change up the way I do things. And if you're here today and this is your very, very first time at Nettles Island Church, we have a little gift that we like to give to all of our new friends. And it's this little promise, Bible promise book. And we're going to have these at the table at the back, the right-hand corner in the back today, the end of the service. If you would just come back and pick one of these up, I'll be back there. I'd love to just shake your hand and introduce myself officially and get to know you a little bit, say hi to you. You're so welcome to be here. And if you're looking for a home church, we are a church that is growing and building on love, and we would love to have you come and be back with us. You can't hear? Hey, Bill, are we on? We're on. Okay. All right. Very, very good. So we'd love to have you back, and if you're looking for a home church, pray about it and ask the Lord what He would have you to do. A couple of things that I want to share with you today is Communion Sunday. It's also every quarter when we do communion, we have a benevolent offering. And today, in your bulletin, you'll find a little benevolent envelope to help. And so besides our regular giving, if you can, God has blessed you, we'd love for you to just listen to His voice. And whatever He says, just place that in a benevolent offering. And then next week, next Sunday, we have a little more time to prepare for this. We've had these two storms. We've had Helene and Milton come through, and you know, we've got damage right here in Martin County and St. Lucie County and all the way in states Georgia and South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina. We've seen so much. And so next Sunday, we're going to take a love offering. We're calling this a love offering. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Pray hard this week. Maybe even give a little bit sacrificially. We're going to give everything that comes in next Sunday is going to go to the Samaritan's Purse Ministries. That's a ministry of Billy Graham's association, his son Franklin. Little picture of him there in the middle of one of the pictures. And they are remarkable. What they do is when that storm or that crisis is on its way, they are already moving to get there. They get in and they help people. They are there to support the people with prayer, with counseling. They are doing physical labor. They are actually shoveling mud out of homes and rebuilding and cutting down trees and bringing food and water. You should see the operation. It's phenomenal what God is doing through them. And so your dollars will all go to that ministry to support all of the victims. They'll spread it around. They're in all the places. They're probably already here in our county and in the surrounding counties, if I know them. They are moving about in Florida and all places. And so we're going to give our best love gift next week. So pray about that and just to see what God would have you to do. And then on the back table today, we have a little election guide. I know you probably already are determined on who you're voting for, but if you're undecided or you really want to just know what the, from a biblical standpoint, what the candidates' views are, no punches held back, all punches full force. It just tells what they believe. You want to pick one of these up. It's on the back table by the double doors that go out by the elevator. So if you go out a different door, you may want to circle around first for that. All right, so this morning I want to just take a moment for us to give thanks to the Lord. I read last night, I was looking at my news on my phone and I can't find it this morning. I wanted to read just a couple little excerpts, but right down here in Port Salerno, you know, the tornadoes are what we had to deal with here on our end. I want to thank God. Steve had a tornado touch down in his backyard. I mean, of all of us, probably the closest to having some real tragedy was Steve. He and the family were standing there looking out. Tornado touched down, and it threw some things against the shutters. Thankfully, had the windows shuttered up, and it just destroyed these couple of shutters. I saw pictures of it. They're all bent out, and had they not been there, it could have been a different story for his home. But God spared that family, and He spared them. And man, there were fences all over, trees all down. And we all had tornadoes around us, but God was watching us and watching Steve. But something that I read was in Port Salerno, they were hit pretty hard in a little subdivision called Monrovia. And there was an article that the Palm Beach Post put out and I read, and it was an article based on them interviewing people who had lost homes, roofs, structures destroyed, cars destroyed. And this article was about them giving thanks to God, giving praise to God. There were more people that said, look, I've lost everything here, but God spared my life and I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I'm trusting God. And I know God has something in store for us. And some of you may have had some damage. I know that Tammy's mom had a little damage to the roof, and that can be so stressful when, you know, thankfully we're spared, but even when our stuff, now the repairs start. So if you've had damage, we're going to pray about that today for you and pray for these others. But I want to read a scripture this morning, because I think as we begin this service, we really need to come together as a people and give thanks to God that He has spared us. He's no respecter of persons. We don't deserve to not have what happened to other people. There were churches and Christians and people that love God just like we do that are suffering today. But God chose to spare us for whatever His purpose and reason in His sovereignty. And so we're going to give thanks. The Bible says in Psalm 9 verses 1 and 2, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. And I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So we're going to do that today. We're going to thank the Lord. We're going to pray and we're going to give Him thanks. And I want you just to open your heart and you thank Him as I'm praying. You pray your prayer inside and thank Him today. And then we're going to sing and we're going to exalt the name of the Lord today. For He is high and He is mighty and He's worthy to be lifted up. So let's pray together. Father, we just bow our hearts to You this morning. Lord, what a week we've had. We prepared as best as we could. We shuddered and we, Lord, prepared and hunkered down. And Lord, we watched the storms come through. And for our area, it was the tornadoes. But You spared the island, God. You spared our lives. You spared, for the most part, our homes, our dwellings. And God, we want to pause today and say thank You. We appreciate and we glorify Your name for who You are and what You do. And God, Your hand of protection for whatever sovereign reason was upon this island and upon us. God, You saved Steve and his family. And God, You just watched over us. So this morning we pause to say thank You. We pause to lift our hearts and give gratitude and worship unto You, because You're worthy and You deserve it. God, our hearts go out to those that were affected by the hurricanes, six in St. Lucie County that lost their lives in the storm, and homes that were destroyed and families that are uprooted. God, we pray over them today. We pray that You would be their God, that they would find You in the midst of the trauma and the turmoil, that they would seek out God and that You would be there for them. God, if they don't know You, that this would be a season where men and women and children would come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Father, we just ask You to put Your arms around our community, around the state of Florida, around the other states with Hurricane Helene that are still trying to dig out and come forth from that. God, we just ask that You would put Your hands over us, and like a mother hen, that You would send Your feathers to cover, and God, that recovery and restoration would begin to happen. God, we are so thankful. We pause to give You glory. We pause to give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to start this first song standing. We're going to sing the doxology together. We're going to praise Him through this service as we come to communion today. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. have a seat. Amen. I'm thankful for what the Lord does for us. I'm thankful that we can lean on Him safe and secure from all alarms. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. And because He lives today, because He rose from the dead and is on His throne and high, we can lean on Him. Let's sing that song we all know well. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive, and to buy my
because He
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive today, living in our hearts and our lives. You know, there's that one verse, and I couldn't help but think about it. If you look at the prayer needs on our bulletin, that page today, you'll see that Ruth Brink went home to Jesus this past week. We're going to pray for Fred and his family, and we're going to believe God, but that verse 2 said, then one day I'll cross the river. We're going to do that one day. Every one of us have an appointment. It's appointed unto man and women, mankind once to die. And we want to live a good long life, and we want to live for Jesus. But there is that appointed time that God has for each and every one of us. It's important today that we know in our hearts that Jesus lives. And we've given our hearts to Him, and He's cleansed us of our sins. And we have that assurance today that we're going home, because we're not home yet. Church, there's no hurricanes and there's no tornadoes in heaven. It's going to be perfect. Ruth is home today. This past week, as she breathed out her last breath on earth, she closed her eyes and she opened them in a blink of an eye, in an instant. And there was Jesus. She's home. She's happy and she's whole and she's well and she's complete and she's rejoicing today. We're thankful for that. But that doesn't mean that there's not grief for family and loved ones. The Bible says that we grieve, but not as those without hope. We have hope, for we will see Ruth again when we get to heaven, when we see Jesus. So we want to pray today for Jim Neubauer. He's in the hospital. I'm going to pray for Bob Zenk today. We need to pray for, as I said, the Brink family. And then we mentioned them and prayed, but all of the victims of Helene and Milton, all of them, from right here on the island with the damage to our homes, all the way to those families that are grieving and that have lost lives, some still looking for their loved ones, different parts of the country. God's faithful, though. And these things happen, these storms of life come, and they're tragedies, but yet there's a sign in them, isn't there? God's trying to wake up His people and wake up the world to the fact that they need to turn to Him. So we'll pray that today as we pray. Would you join me? Just bow our heads again and let's ask God's help on all of these. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today that you're alive, Jesus. 2,000 years ago, they took your life, but really you laid it down. They didn't take what you gave. They thought they were taking it, but you were offering it a sacrifice for me and for those of us that are here today, that your death could bring us life. And I thank you today for that life. I thank you today that we can know you as our Savior. We can know that beyond shadow of a doubt that we're on our way home. We're on our way to heaven. It may be soon. It may be a while yet. It may be that we all go together when that trumpet sounds and we're caught up to meet with you in the air. God, help us to be ready. We thank you today for Ruth. We thank you that she was ready. We thank you, Lord, that she was looking for a better place, a better home, an eternal place to be with Jesus. And she walked right through those gates and into your arms. Thank you for that. Be with Fred today and his family, his daughters and his sons and his grandchildren. And God, watch over them and cover them. Lord, somehow, some way in the grief that they're feeling, let there be a peace that prevails. Let there be a sense of an overwhelming joy that marks itself right along with their grieving, that God, that they can feel the hope and the glory of God in their lives. Bless them. Father, we pray today for Jim Neubauer, for Bob Zenk, for their physical needs. Heal them today. Touch them today. Heal those that are on this list that are we continually pray for. Lord, we are not giving up and we're not giving out. We're not giving in. The Bible says, by your stripes we were healed. And we're going to depend on the word and stand upon the word of God for every name that's on this list, trusting you to do a mighty work. God, I pray today for those that are suffering today. We've already asked, but Lord, we're asking again. Some are just not knowing what to do at wit's end, especially those that are not of of faith. They don't know you. They don't know where to turn and what to do. They don't have a hope like we do. God, bring people into the kingdom through this. Lord, what the enemy meant for harm, turn around for good. Let there be a harvest of souls that come to the kingdom. Find Jesus as Savior and Lord. Father, we just pray your blessing over the remainder of our service. God, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to rise up. Let there be a sweet, sweet spirit in this place that every one of us can feel and sense and know. Bless us as we share the word. Bless us as we come into communion. God, may you be exalted and glorified in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, before we share communion, I want to share really a devotional, but maybe just a little bit more than that, but something that's been on my mind and on my heart for a while. And it was interesting, last Sunday when we were in Little Rock, Arkansas, we were in a church that is called Grace United. It's a church that 2 years ago, an African-American church had lost the lease on the property they were using, and they needed a place to worship. And so another church in town with Grace in its name, a Caucasian church, so a black church and a white church. The black church came 2 years ago and said, is there any way we could rent space when you're not having your services? And so they started out that way, and about a year into it, the Holy Spirit spoke to both the pastors and said, why don't you merge together? You are one body. And so they merged last year, and they changed their name to Grace United. That's the church that we were in when little Nora was dedicated last Sunday by Cindy's dad. What a beautiful service, and thank you for your support, your love and prayers on that. That little grandbaby is just really something. It took a long time for me to become a grandpa, but finally it's here. As I was sitting in church last week, and the two pastors, the black pastor and the white pastor, they team taught a message that I'm taking some thoughts from today. It's not original with me, put my own thoughts into it, but I think it's imperative that we hear what I believe God wants us to hear this morning. That message was profound, and every church in America really should have the opportunity to hear it. And so I'm going to share some of it today. I've given it my own title and some of my own thought, but hear what's being said today. And again, understand it's not just my original, but I think that you'll be blessed, and I think it'll be challenging to your heart this morning as you receive the word. The title of this message is called United We Stand. United We Stand. And it's John 17. If you're a history buff, you know who Patrick Henry was. Patrick Henry, one of America's patriots who fought to establish our nation, used the phrase. He coined the phrase, "United we stand, divided we fall," right? It was him who came up with this in his last public speech that he gave in March of 1799. By this time, he's an old man. Clasping his hands and swaying unsteadily, Henry proclaimed, "Let us trust God and our better judgment to set us right hereafter. For united we stand and divided we fall. Let us not split into factions which must destroy that union upon which our existence hangs. United we stand, but if we become divisive, we'll fail, we'll fall." You and I know this. Coming into this election season in 3.5 weeks, we as a nation have never, ever been more divided in my lifetime, I feel, than we are right now. There have been pockets and there have been seasons. In the 60s, you had the hippie revolution and the parents didn't like that. And you had the resistance at the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago. And there was the rioting and the protesting that got out of hand. In fact, Joe knows this. That's where the name pig for police officer first came. The police were firing tear gas on the streets, and it was just smoking the whole area where all the protesters were. And here came the police through the smoke with these big masks on, with a big snout on the front, and they looked like Porky the Pig. And so everybody started yelling, "There's a pig! There's a pig!" We've had moments, but we've never had, in my lifetime, I feel, the disparity and the discord and the disunity that we are facing as a nation today. We're a nation that's divided over race. We're divided over abortion rights and gender identification and sexual preference, and especially right now over our political beliefs and points of view. And I want to share a thought this morning for the next few moments. The thought is, a hope for a divided nation is a united church. The hope for a divided nation is a united church. For a divided nation, America and the world need a united church. Now, there are two subjects that are hard to deal with in life, and we've all learned about this. They can be a lightning bolt that brings division and separation so easily. And one subject is talking about religion, and the other one is talking about politics. You hear that all the time. We don't talk about religion and politics here because we know that those are hot buttons for most of us. And go just about any place today and start talking about religion or politics, and the pot of divisive emotion and feelings is going to start to boil. And when America, listen to this, when America is hurting, and we're hurting today, politically, people often hurt one another personally. When we're hurting politically, we hurt each other personally. And when we're hurting, we tend to hurt others. Let me make this illustrative point this morning. Thanksgiving's just around the corner in another month and a half or so. Many of you can remember back. I don't know if we still do it, but I remember when I was a little boy going to grandma's house and having grandma, grandpa, my parents, my uncles, my cousins, and it was this huge family gathering, and it's a bunch of Italians, and you know Italians aren't quiet when they get together. They talk loud. Cindy always goes, "Why do you talk so loud?" I said, "I can't help myself. This is how I was raised. Nobody will hear me if I don't talk loud." But find yourself around a Thanksgiving table with family. Family's there, you're gathered together. And today, in some of those families, it's going to be really a battleground. You see, because America's political hurt has even infiltrated family life, causing division, in some cases, a great rift or a divide. And so now brothers and sisters and even parents sitting around a table, instead of being thankful and talking about good things, will talk about their political viewpoints, and it'll separate families maybe this season with what has come through the election process. And this represents how political division in the nation can lead to personal pain among family and among friends and even amongst us who sit in the pews in church together, making us forget the bond that we share in favor of our differing political viewpoints. Now, this isn't really funny, but it was meant to be, but because of the message and the context, it's not. Somebody said this: be sure to bring up politics at Thanksgiving dinner. It's going to save you money on Christmas gifts. That really fits in with what's going on. Now, I want to tell you this morning, church, that we, Nettles Island Church, and the church at large, the body of Christ, we have an unprecedented opportunity for the next three and a half weeks, and that's this. There's something that God, I believe, wants us to do very strongly, and that is that we can disagree politically, but we can love unconditionally. I believe that that's God this morning. Here's the deal. Disagreement is inevitable. It's inevitable, but division is a choice. We're all going to disagree. You may like vanilla ice cream. I like chocolate ice cream. You might not hate cake and like pie, and I might be the different. And we could go on, and colors and what we wear and just different things. There is always going to be disagreement, and that's okay. But we can't allow our disagreement to turn into a division where we lose the unity that we need to have. Some folks think, well, the people I disagree with politically, maybe I can just tolerate them. I don't have to love them unconditionally, but I can just tolerate them. Or maybe the best I can do is just be nice to them, to their face, but I'll talk about it behind their back. But listen, because of Jesus and what he said, you and I can disagree politically and yet love each other unconditionally. You see, Jesus prayed that over his disciples in John chapter 17. It says there, this passage of prayer in John 17 is moments. It's happening in the upper room. It's happening at communion. Jesus has just finished serving his disciples communion. He's earlier washed their feet, and he's now getting ready to leave. They're getting ready to sing that hymn, and they're going to leave the upper room, and they're going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know it's there that he will be found and arrested and pulled out of there. And then the trial will start, and the persecution and the suffering will go on until they hang him on the cross. But just before that, hours before, this is his last public corporate prayer. And Jesus prays this. He says in John 17, verses 1 and verse 11, he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name and the name that you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one." Now, when he says the hour, when he says that there, the hour, he's talking about the hour of his crucifixion. The hour's come. He knows that through that night and into the next day, it's going to be the toughest moments of his earthly life. The hour's come. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And then he says, "I'm not going to remain in this world. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to resurrect, and then I'm going to ascend back to heaven, and I'm going to be in heaven at your right hand." He's saying that he's getting ready to leave, but they, the 12 disciples, that's the they in here, are still here. And he asked the Father to protect them. Now, here's the interesting thing. When we think about a prayer for protection, we normally think about physical safety. I remember there was never a time when I was a kid when we'd go away, go to grandma's house a couple hours, we get in the car, the suitcases are in the trunk, and we're ready to go. And before my dad turned the car on, he'd say, "Let's pray and ask God to protect us and give his angels charge over us." When I left for college, and every time I'd come back and then leave to go, he'd come out and lay hands on the car and on me, and he'd pray prayers of protection. We know that. We understand that. But that's not what's happening here. That's not the case here. What Jesus is praying protection over is unity. To protect their unity. Protect them. Don't let them get divided. Don't let them get separated. Once I leave them, let them stay united and together and focused and on mission and on purpose together. Protect their unity, that they may be one, Jesus said, as you and I, Father, are one in perfect unity. You see, Jesus knows that unity is an essential ingredient to the success of the church. Not just Nettles Church, this church, but the body. You and I, us, but the church at large. And it's essential to the advancement of His kingdom here on earth. You may have never been part, and I hope you haven't, but maybe some of you have been part of a church that got broken up with disunity. Maybe something happened and some people didn't like the pastor anymore. Some sided with him, some didn't, and the church split. Maybe there was something else that happened. They didn't like the way that things were being done, and so people got mad and they got upset and they went to war with each other and they split and people left and they were gone. That happens way, way, way too often, and it's so against what I'm talking about today. You see, our unity as the body of Christ, and even bringing it home to the church here that meets in this hall in Nettles Island, our unity is not a side issue. It's the main issue. It's a top priority with God this morning. Some of us think that we can major in other things and minor at working and staying united with one another. But listen, our unity is not a side issue. It is the issue. Living for Christ, serving His kingdom starts with love and unity. Ephesians 4:3, Paul the Apostle writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort. Give it your best shot to stay in unity. We might disagree, but we don't have to be divisive. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus prayed, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, bring heaven down to earth, Father. There's no division in heaven, so there should be no division within our ranks in the church here on earth. In John 17, along with His disciples, Jesus then goes on in His prayer, and He's asking for our protection too. It's not just the 12. Look at verses 20 and 21. He says, My prayer is not for them alone, the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as You are in Me and I in You, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that You have sent Me. You see that last line there? That the world may believe. The point of unity in Christ within our body of believers is so that the world, the unbelievers, the lost that are out there might come to know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. We send a conflicting message to the world when we're not together, when we're not getting along, and when we're not loving one another, but we want other unbelievers to come and join us. You know, we put our things out there, hey, come on, join my church, come to church with me, and we can't get along. The world looks at the church today and says, if that's what you're all about, you can count me out. You see, this is an important point. When they see our unity, it shows His divinity. It shows them. It's a standard that shows them. You see, Jesus said, so that the world may believe. And you know what? This is a command. This isn't just an option for you and I. We're Christian believers. We have a command. He gave a command. He says, a new command I give to you, love one another. This is a command. And how do we do that love? As He loved us. We're to love like Jesus loves. So that we don't, we're to love like Jesus loves those that we don't agree with, whether it be politically or in some other area of our division. We're to love unconditionally. And while we were yet His enemies, look at this. When you and I, before we were Christians, we were enemies of the cross. We were enemies of God. We were enemies of Jesus and all that He had for us. We didn't care about Him. If somebody tried to talk to us about Jesus, we try to push them away and think, what a fanatic, what a weirdo. Why in the world? I don't want any of my life is fine. I'm in control of my life. And we were enemies of the cross. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Unconditional love. When it's all said and done, it's about the salvation of the world. The Bible says, you know this verse so well, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us Jesus. For why? To rescue and to save and to redeem us. And not just us. And not just America. But the 8 billion plus souls that are alive today in our world. For God so loved the world. He says in John 17, 22 and 23, I've given them the glory that You gave to Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me, so that they may be brought to, look at this, complete unity. I gave them the power. I gave them glory. I deposited something within their spirit as a Christian son or daughter of Yours, Father, I put something in there so that they could do this, that they might be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Understand this, church. The salvation of the world is in some consequence dependent upon the unity within our body here today. Nettles Island folks that are good people but don't know Jesus. Their coming to Christ is somewhat based on this scripture, based on the fact that we can show our neighbors and our friends and our family that we can get along, that we have unity. And so hope for a divided nation is a unified church. Hope for a divided nation is a unified church. The unsaved are going to believe and trust in the gospel message. Our unity factors in big. Look, I'm a realist, and I know that in this room of 100 people or thereabouts, we've got diversity here. We've got diversity in our politics. We've got diversity in so many different things. Some of our theology, not the essentials of theology. There's only one way into heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. There aren't many ways, like the world tries to say. But if you're of the persuasion that baptism was sprinkling versus immersion, if you're of the persuasion that communion should be real wine and not grape juice, if you're of the... lost my word. If your thoughts are of these kinds of things, those are non-essentials to me. We can get along. The one thing we can't separate is how we make it to heaven, who our Savior is, and how we make heaven our home. We can't work our way in. We receive the free gift of eternal life. And just this is a side note. If you're here today, and we're going to get ready for communion in just a moment, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, when we pray and bow our heads to receive communion today, all you have to do, and this is true, this is Bible, I'll show you word for word when church is over if you want to see it. If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. See, his raising, his life coming from death proves we can live forever too. We believe that God raised him from the dead. We shall be saved. You can't earn your way in. You can't be better tomorrow than you are today and think God's going to honor that and say, hey, you deserve this. None of us deserve heaven, but it's a gift. And we get it by faith. You can pray that little prayer and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. Save me. I want to live forever with you. I want to serve you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I give you my life. You can pray that when we come to communion today. But let me ask you a question today. Actually, let me move on and let me just do this. I want to leave two action steps very quickly over that we can do over the next 3.5 weeks. There's just two things I'm going to ask you to do so that we can stay in unity, so that we can work together. We can keep the big picture, the main thing, the main thing. Number one, pray like Jesus prayed. Write that down. Pray like Jesus prayed. You see, Jesus prayed for unity. So pray for Nettles Island Church during this election season that we can show the greatness of God's love to those who are divided and highly troubled by what's coming. I don't know who's going to win. God hasn't shared that with me. I don't know what the future holds for America. I have my views, I have my opinions, and I'm strong in them. I'm very political. I'm very patriotic. But like I preached some time ago, this world is not your home. It's not mine. Heaven is. Let's not lose ourselves on something that's going to burn up when time comes to an end. Let's gain ourselves. Heaven is where we're going, and we're going to spend eternity together. So if you can't stand me now, look out. God's going to put you and your house right next door to mine. And when you put your fence up, an angel's going to take it down, so you have to look at me all day long, every day, through eternity. Think about it. God has a sense of humor. Well, I can't get along with Steve. We go to church together, but I don't like a lot about that guy. Well, guess what? Maybe Steve and I are going to be neighbors in heaven until I can truly love him like I'm supposed to. Pray like Jesus prayed. Pray so that people will see that our church will walk in unity, that we'll walk in peace, that no matter what happens, God's in control. God is a sovereign God, church. He's in control. He knows how it's going to happen, what it's going to be. And if it doesn't go my way, I don't need to lose my mind over that. I need to press in harder and firmer into the things of God and stay connected to God. Pray that we as a church will show this community and beyond the greatness of God's love. Pray for your enemies. The second part of praying. Pray for your enemies. Jesus prayed for his enemies. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. A lot of us view half of America today as our enemies right now. They're blue and I'm red, or I'm red and they're blue. I'm an elephant, they're a donkey. I'm a donkey, they're an elephant. Half of America is divided. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that have resisted you and maybe you've been in battle with. Pray over them. Pray that God would bless them. Pray to take any animosity out of your heart, that you could love them unconditionally. And then thirdly, pray for all sides of the political spectrum, the leaders. Don't just pick yours out and pray for them. Pray for both. Pray for all of them. Pray for the House, both sides of the House, the Democrats and the Republicans. Pray. They need Jesus. That's the answer. Trump isn't the Savior. Harris is not the Savior. They're not going to fix the world's problems. Read Revelation, you'll see that. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So let's not get caught up in that support. Be patriotic. I'm patriotic. I took an oath when I stepped into law enforcement to defend the Constitution, and that never goes away. And I'll defend that till the day that I die. I'm patriotic. But my first allegiance is to heaven and to Jesus Christ. He's first and he's foremost. So pray like Jesus. Secondly, look for an opportunity to love unconditionally someone with whom that you have disagreed with politically. Listen, we all have an opportunity to do this because of who's on the inside of us. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. So Christ is going to help us to do that. So as I close this message, and Steve, come on back. When we leave here today, let's look for feet to wash, not a war to fight. Because Jesus washed our feet and he won the war at Calvary, where he took our sin and our shame and he opened heaven's gates to us and all that will believe in him. Amen. So as we prepare for communion this morning, Steve's going to lead us in a chorus together. I'd like you to stand to your feet if you would. And just to bring this message home, just to bring this message right home to us today, I want this to be your prayer this morning, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. If you don't know it, just sing it, whatever key, whatever melody that comes out, don't worry about it. Just sing it. Make that your prayer, and then we're going to share communion together.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I am. Like you.
I love coming to communion. I love what it does for my soul and my spirit. Because Paul said that we need to examine our hearts when we come to the table of the Lord. And that's what we do. It's not mine to examine yours and yours to examine mine. God knows what's in my heart. And I know what's in my heart. And so this morning, as we just find a moment to just close in with Jesus, you feel that little twinge of conviction, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's not because He's mad, that's because He loves us. He convicts me of my sin, my unrighteousness. There may be some here today that need to take and apply directly right now what I shared in the message. You've been mad at somebody, a family member. Listen, don't let politics, don't let religion divide and break down the love. Ours is to love. And when we speak truth, we have to speak truth in love. God so loved the world. I'm not the judge. God the Father is the judge. He's going to judge all men, living and dead. Jesus came and He gave His life and He gave His love. And He asks us to do that. Love God and love people. So today, if we find that we have got some things to work out, just quietly, just it only takes a sentence or two to say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be right with You as I come into communion. Like I said earlier in the message, if you don't know Jesus today, communion is for the body of Christ. It's for the family of God. It doesn't mean anything to people that aren't Christians. They don't believe that Jesus died and rose again. But that's what this is all about. But today, right where you're seated, you can bow your head and you can say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to take You as my Savior. I receive You today. I receive Your gift of salvation and eternal life. Thank You for going to the cross and dying for me. And I thank You for heaven. And today I make You Lord of my life. That's the prayer. That's the scripture. That's the Word of God. I don't care what your church background is, from Catholic to Pentecostal or anywhere in between. There's only one door and one way, and that's Jesus. And that's how we get in, by receiving Him. Church can't save you. Mom, Dad, their life, their example, them bringing you all the years they were here, and being that, they can't save you. Only Jesus, by you putting your faith and your trust in Him. Now, Paul said on the night that Jesus was betrayed that He took bread and He broke the bread. And then He gave the bread to His disciples. They passed it around. Then He said, take from this bread. He said, this bread is my body that's been broken for you. Broken. Oh, you know what He went through. You've been there, read through it, been through communion services. I'm not going to elaborate today, but you know all the things that He went through even before they nailed His hands in His feet. Broken. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, church, listen to me. By His stripes, we were healed. We were healed. Past tense. Broken for Rob. Broken for you. There's healing in the atonement. It's not just salvation and spiritual healing. Maybe that's the church you came from. And I'm not knocking anybody's past. But that doesn't just talk about, yeah, that's involved, healing my spirit so I can go to heaven. But it doesn't stop there. God, through what Jesus did, can heal your body today if you'll just trust Him and ask and believe. By His stripes, we were healed. His broken body. This body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, thank You for this bread. Thank You for what we hold in our hand that represents the body of Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank You for being willing to give all that You gave that we might have eternal life. God, also that we might have healing from our infirmities and our sicknesses and diseases. By Your stripes, we're healed. God, heal Your people today. Lord, let healing flow in this sanctuary. restore bodies, restore minds, restore hearts, physical needs today. Restore today as we partake and as we ask in faith. Lord, there is the healing of the heart, the spirit. God, save today those that need to be saved as we partake. In Jesus' name, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the body. Thank you for the bread that represents your precious body broken for us. Make us whole as we eat of it together today. In honor of you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Let's partake of the bread. The Bible goes on to say that after supper, Jesus took the cup, said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The new covenant. The old way was they had to work to get to heaven. They had to bring their animals in and give them and share them, and they had to do something. The high priest would take the animal and sacrifice the animal in their place. We have one lamb. His name is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who went to sacrifice for me and for you because of his love. He gave his all, and he died on that cross, and he shed his blood. And to prove that there's no longer a work system, that's the old covenant. The new covenant is grace. The moment that Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished," as he hung on the cross, the Bible said that down the hill of Calvary, the center of town, there in the temple, where the curtain separated the holy place from the holy of holies, that from the top to the bottom, no man in place, miraculously that curtain just tore in half and came apart. No longer would they take the blood of a lamb or a bull and take it in there and lay it on the Day of Atonement, but that day was done and the new covenant was here. This cup, this precious cup of communion, represents the blood of our Lamb, Jesus, was shed so you and I wouldn't have to shed our blood, so we wouldn't have to spend eternity separated from God, that this blood can take away all of our sin and all of our stain, make us brand new Christian people, holy people, righteous in the eyes of God. Lord, we thank you for this cup. Bless as we partake of the fruit of the vine that is a representation of your precious blood. Lord, there's more power in one drop of blood to save the world of sinners from the time of the beginning to the time of end. The blood of Jesus is a weapon that Satan knows, and he has to bow to the name and the blood. He runs from the blood. It's that powerful. We thank you, Lord, for this communion that represents that blood, and we partake of it today in honor of your death and your burial and your resurrection. And we do this in honor of you, in memory of you, until you return to call us home. So bless us as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to close the service. This is our closing song today. It's so fitting. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Sing it with all that you have within you as Steve leads us this morning.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Aren't you thankful this morning that we get into heaven simply by receiving the gift of eternal life, the grace that's undeserved favor? I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but God offers it. Aren't you glad for grace today? Amen. I'm so glad that you're here. So glad we could share together today, and I'm so glad that God kept you through this storm. Let's pray for those. Let's continue to pray for those that are hurting, those that are going through it across our land, right here in our communities. As we leave today, thank you for giving in that benevolent offering that meets the needs right here in this local community and right around this community. That money goes to helping people that find themselves in some kind of a hardship, some kind of a hard way, and as we give. And then let's pray about next week. Next week's a big week too, and I realize we're asking a lot, and I thank you in advance. I thank you for being willing to give sacrificially, because we're going to meet needs. Lives are going to be changed, and souls are going to be saved through that Billy Graham ministry. As we give and support that, they're going to bring people into the kingdom. And one day you're going to stand in heaven, and somebody that you don't know will walk up to you and say, "You don't know me, but I went through a horrific storm called Helene. And I know that God showed me that you gave to the Samaritan's Purse, and they were able to provide supplies that kept me alive and gave me hope. And they brought me to Jesus because of your giving." So thank you for giving to the Lord. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace today, tomorrow, and all the way until we get to eternal peace, walking through the gates of heaven. God bless you today. Have the best week. We'll see you soon.